Amen. God's blessings to you all this morning again. It's been good to be here. Enjoyed the devotional there, Brother Michael. You shared. I just love seeing those things, what you might call from almost nothing coming to life, right? Amen. Well, this morning I think maybe a little bit along that line too. I was going to start out with, not with my message, but just a little exercise here. Kind of go on into the message. There's a couple words that in the Bible, now there's lots of words in the Bible, but there's a couple of them that I want to look at first here. They're in Romans, and they always kind of catch my attention when I read them, and I'm not sure if they do yours or not, but they're in Romans 12. We know Romans 12 very well, the first couple of verses. I'll just read the first, it's in the first two verses. Says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, he just got done, you know, giving, you know, the kind of the backdrop of it is the promise of Israel's restoration, you know, how God is going to bring salvation, and then in the last couple of verses in 12, actually, let's read the last verse, says, For of him and through him and to him are all things, and to him be glory forever. Amen. And then chapter 12 starts in, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The conformed and transformed. It says, be not conformed, but be transformed. Those words always catch my attention. I don't know if it does for you or not, but as I was thinking about it, and I was thinking, you know, he's saying, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. How do I know? I mean, what does that look like? I mean, how do I know that that's happening in my life? I mean, I was thinking maybe we could, I'll write it down here. We can see if we can come up with a list of what we would put under each word. Conform or transform. He's saying, don't be conformed to the world. Now, there's another place, I think, in Romans where he says that he wants us to be conformed to the image of God's Son, which is his likeness. But if we look at the word conform, it says to make like in external appearance, to reduce to a like shape or form with something else, to conform anything a model. More generally, to reduce a likeness or correspondence in manners, opinions, or moral qualities. To make agreeable, to square with a rule of directory. So that's conform. Then transform, it says to change the form of, to change the shape, appearance, to metamorphose as a caterpillar transformed into a butterfly. Now when Michael got this, when he picked up that, he almost didn't know what it was. It was just a clump of dirt, right? But when we say that thing transformed, it's no longer what it used to be. That's transform. Now, if you think of words that we could put, let's do the good one first. Let's do transform first. What would we put underneath that? What are some words that we could put underneath that, you know, that are we know is right for a Christian, and then we can kind of look at our own lives, you know, is that real in my life, or is that happening in my life? Eli.
The washing of the word.
Washing of the word.
His word is clean.
Washing of the washing of the word, his word is clean. One of them that I was thinking is thankful. Because a child normally, when a child comes into the world, are they thankful? Or when they start talking and everything is gimme, 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 right? We have to teach them to be thankful. That's a transforming process. What are some other things that we could put underneath that?
Transparent.
Transparent? You spelled it with an E or? Transparent? Anything else?
Kind.
Patience.
Humble.
Forgiving. Long suffering, I think we heard that word this morning, right?
Willing to take correction.
Correction, willing. T-I-O. I get it all one word, right? What was that other one? Willing to take correction, forgiving, long-suffering, long. Yeah, so that's a good list. I think those are things that we don't see them in children right away, when do we? You ever seen many of in any children when as they started growing, you know, when they started talking, and they're usually not there. That's why I think in Romans it talks, he says not to be conformed. So let's go to the other one, to be conformed. I mean, there's probably just as long a list there that we could put on there. I mean, if we're conformed, if we are becoming more like the world or being conformed to the world, I mean, what all is going to be there? Probably we could put unthankful for sure.
Love, darkness.
Love.
I think you're the opposite of transparent.
Right. Dark.
Popularity.
probably not spelled right, but you get to see my...
It is.
Okay.
Greedy.
Greedy. In Romans, it says, in chapter 1, we know that, you probably know that verse where it talks about, talking about unthankful, it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Vain imaginations, right? Vain. Pride.
Self-seeking.
Self-seeking. I think that's a good one there, self-seeking, because that's... Because that would go along with the verse in Isaiah where it says, every man went his own way and none sought after God, and kind of my own words there. We all have gone astray, seeking our own. So, if you look at those, if we look at those and we think, am I being... I know when something is transformed, like being born again, we know that all things become new. A lot of things change, but then there's still this, we still have the Adam nature to deal with. And I think that's why Paul is saying here is to be transformed. I think that's a continuing process. And as we look at that list, I think for myself, it's a good gauge, where am I in those things? Am I still selfish? Yeah, transformed. I always liked that. I mean, there's churches that are called reformers, and I always think when I see that, I would always think I wouldn't put that on my church name, because the Bible says to be transformed. We're not just making something better. We're starting all over, like this flower. I mean, Michael didn't just try to make this little dirt clod look better. It, the whole thing, give it some moisture, it all becomes new. There's something new to it. It's not just making something old look better, but I guess that's, yeah. So that was just a little bit of maybe a little starter to what I wanted to share. Let's turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, if you look at the first part of it, it talks about marriage and divorce and children of the kingdom, the rich young ruler. Then in 23, it talks about the difficulty of riches, eternal reward in 28. And then coming crucifixion, he talks about how he's going to be crucified. And then in 35 is where we want to read down to 45. Why don't we pray and then we'll read this. Thank you, Lord, again this morning for your faithfulness in directing us and teaching us. Thank you for your word that is able to give us direction as we humble ourselves and seek you. And Lord, we know that your word says that him that cometh to you, you will in no wise cast out, but you're more than willing to direct and give us wisdom as we humble ourselves and seek to follow you. Thank you for being a great shepherd to your children. And Lord, as we look into your word, that you would teach us again of your truths. Thank you for your blessings on us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here in this passage, it says, whosoever will be great. Whosoever will be great. And in the same parallel passage is in Matthew. There it says, instructions about ambition. Now, ambition, there's nothing wrong with ambition, is there? But it has to be directed the right way, right? So let's read this here in Mark. It says, and James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, what would ye that I should do for you? And they said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand, on the other on thy left hand in thy glory. That's quite a question, right? So you think they were, and I mean, if you look at what they had just got done talking about, Jesus had got done giving them some instructions about that he was going to have to die. And I don't know, would you put that in the, they were being conformed or transformed? They were maybe in the process of being transformed yet, as we see Jesus here, what he did then. Verse 38, and Jesus said unto them, ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized of the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, we can. And Jesus said unto them, ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized with all shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and said unto them, Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you will be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life for a ransom for many. So I titled the message, Only a Servant. So maybe we could put that on there too. I don't think we can put that. Being a servant. Being a servant. Let's look at a servant. If in the 1828 dictionary, it says, a person, a male or female, that attends another for the purpose of performing menial offices for him, one who is employed by another for such offices or for other labor and is subject to his command. The word is correlative to master. Servant differs from slave, as the servant's subjection to a master is voluntary, the slave's is not. Every slave is a servant, but every servant is not a slave. Those are some things to consider. Every slave is a servant, but every servant is not a slave. If we voluntarily, is the work that I do where God has called me, do I voluntarily do it? Or if I don't, then I'm a slave. Am I a servant? Because here, I mean, we'll see the value of a servant has, yeah. A servant is, he's just working for someone else. Another meaning is one in a state of subjection. Another one is one who yields obedience to another. It says the saints are called servants of God or of righteousness, and the wicked are called servants of sin. One that makes painful sacrifice in compliance with the weakness of others. You know, as I read this, these little passages here in Mark and Matthew, it almost is a little, I don't know who I want to say, a little humorous. Because, you know what I get, I don't know what comes to your mind when you read this, but what came to my mind is sometimes you hear conversations and, do I want to say always little boys or sometimes big boys? Whose truck is the greatest, or whose tractor can pull the hardest, or whose bike can go the fastest? Or there's all these things that that we tend to think that we kind of, you know, mine is the best, mine is the fastest, mine is the greatest, you know. Here a couple of, like James and John, they wanted to get, hey, let's, I think we're going to, see, that'd be the best place to be, is right next, you know, sitting right next in his glory. Now, I don't know, were they thinking of an earthly? I think they were probably still thinking pretty earthly. And Jesus said, you know, it's not his to give. I mean, he can say that, you know, who's going to be sitting there. But, you know, as soon as those two disciples said something, well, there was somebody else. The other ten, they were much displeased. Well, you know how a conversation goes when everybody wants to be the greatest. I mean, everybody's just trying to outdo each other, and then Jesus comes and he brings it down. You know, what is actually the greatest? What is great? And I mean, he really makes it clear. You know, what is the most important? In Philippians, we have the verse where he says about Jesus. He says, look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He took upon him the form of a servant. He absolutely didn't have to. Because if we go back to the meaning of a servant, it says one that makes painful sacrifices in compliance with the weakness or wants of others. And I want to put a plug in for you mothers, you know, when you're taking care of your children. When you're taking care of your children, it's like, I don't know if you ever think this, you know, when two or three are crying and things aren't going so well, and you think, is this all I get to do? Or is this all all there is to life, or, you know. But here, a servant does voluntarily does. If you look at the example of Jesus, he didn't have to. But he voluntarily, I think last Sunday, we had Paul shared the message on Jesus suffered voluntarily for us. And a servant, you know, if we are servants of the Lord Jesus, we do it voluntarily. It's not something that we have to do. But it almost seems like he puts us in places, you know, when he blesses us with children, and then we get to those places where, do we take care of them voluntarily? If we are his servants, we should be doing it voluntarily. I'm just a servant, only a servant. How many of you have ever read the book, Only a Servant? I mean, we have it in our house. It's not a very big book, but yeah, it was, I don't know if I can tell exactly how, I think it was a Jew, and he got separated from his family, or he divorced his wife, and he moved, I think, some other area, and then his son got saved and wanted to go and share the gospel with him, but he didn't. I think he passed away before it happened. But there was another guy that he passed it on to that had an inheritance, that also didn't have, I mean, he wouldn't have had to go, but he went and he lived next door to this guy. And for 2 years, he lived as a servant. I mean, he made a powerful impact in the community. It was a community of, you know, people didn't, they were basically unsaved people. And he actually, the Jew, he actually got saved through this servant living next, I think it was next door. And yeah, just a powerful testimony. And it very much brings out the life of Jesus. I mean, it's kind of as you read it, you can kind of see that he actually did exactly what Jesus did. Jesus willingly came and lived among us, and he wouldn't have had to. And, you know, with the thing of being conformed or transformed, and as I look at that sometimes, and, you know, am I willingly a servant, or do I sometimes do it grudgingly? If we see his example, we can be encouraged. Here in Mark, yeah, as I said before, you know, when the disciples heard this, they were, yeah, upset, displeased with the, you know, that couple of these other ones trying to get ahead of them. In an interesting thing, in Matthew, it actually says that the mother of the two boys came and asked this question. It wasn't just the two disciples. It wasn't just James and John, but the mother actually came. So if you look at that and we think, my, they had some growing up to do yet. But then if I look at my own life, sometimes I think too. Well, I have some growing up to do too. I mean, do I do things voluntarily? If you look at what Jesus, he took the disciples and he took this opportunity to do a little bit of teaching. He says in verse 42 there, he says, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you, that whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister or servant. A servant. Whosoever will be great will be a servant. And I've appreciated too very much. I think all you mothers and parents do very well. And I, you know, just in church here, sometimes, you know, after we get done eating, your younger, some of the children coming around cleaning up. I guess I want to say thank you for that, and all you ones that help clean up. And that's what we might call the tracks of a servant, you know, being willing to be responsible and looking where there's a need. I think we could put that one in there. A servant looks where he can help. And the younger you can learn that, children, the better it will go for you in life. If you look where there's a need, and you don't have to stand around and say, well, I'm bored. If you're bored sometimes, look for opportunities where there's a need. I mean, there's lots of needs in the world. When I hear that sometimes, I think, well, either it is really bad, or then they're not looking for, somebody's not looking where they could be useful. In Isaiah, it also mentions Jesus. It says, "Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." He calls him his servant. This was just a prophecy. When Isaiah was prophesying of him, he said, "He was, behold, my servant upon whom I uphold, mine elect." And then Paul, we know how Paul was, he thought he was serving the Lord. He was zealous, living a zealous life. He had ambition, but it was not an ambition for the Lord, but it was ambition for his own religion. But then in Romans, Paul, I really, if you look, have you ever noticed that a lot of letters, like in the epistles, you know how this, if you, it was kind of interesting as I was looking at this, you know, we see this in Mark where they were fussing who's going to be the greatest, and then they, like Peter and James, and I think John does too. Paul does too. He says, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel." And then in Corinthians, Paul also says, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more." He made himself a servant. Instead of, you know, what he used to be a driver. He was out to persecute the church, but he became a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then James says, "James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting." I think it's probably the same James. James, as I don't know, is James the son of Zebedee? But then I thought, that's kind of interesting. I think he, you know, after Jesus left and they got, you know, I don't know if he got soundly converted or soundly transformed. I don't know which one you want to say. But he starts his letter. He says, "James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ." I think that's so beautiful. And I was thinking, do I ever write a letter like that? I don't write much letters, but I think that's a good way, you know. If we're servants of the Lord Jesus, isn't that a beautiful way to start writing a letter? If you write, I would encourage it. You know, if you write a letter, put your name in there, the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. We're lifting up the Lord. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. He was there too, fussing, you know, who's going to be the greatest. But when he wrote his letter, that's what he wrote. A servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And then Jude also says, the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God and the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. It looked like transformation was happening in their lives, and I think it needs to happen in our lives too. Being transformed, being willing to, because if you look at what all a servant is, I mean, he's there for his master. He's not, if you're a little bit like me, you think, well, do I have to do this actually? Or, I mean, I want to do it for the Lord, but sometimes, you know, we're still put on with this flesh and blood, and we can so easily that's one of the conforming that we could put underneath there is grumbling. How many of you ever hear grumbling in your home? Do I have to wash the dishes? Is that being conformed or trans? That's still probably being conformed to their unthankful. That would be unthankful, right? Yeah, there's a lot of, a servant has no, I mean, there's that verse, I didn't even look that one up, where it talks about, when the servant has done everything, and then, you know, he goes in and forget exactly how it says, but he basically works all day, and then he comes in and then he has to still work when he comes in, and he, at one point it almost seems like, you know, he can think, you know, I've done everything, I've done all that I was required to do. But no, we can't, what Jesus did for us, the example that he gave for us, we can never repay. And there's never going to be a time, if we're really truly walking with the Lord, there's never going to be a time where, you know, I think I've done enough to where, you know, I'm a good servant. A servant is always, I don't think he ever comes to the place where, you know, especially in the spiritual sense, we will never come to a place where we feel like we've been, you know, we've done everything that we needed to do. There's always opportunities to what can I do? If we're looking for opportunities to serve and to be a blessing, there's always, as long as we're on this earth, there's always going to be opportunities. David also had a lot to say about some of his psalms. You know, they started in a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord. Opportunities. He was always looking for opportunities where he can be a blessing. He wasn't looking to be ministered unto, but to come and be a blessing. That's why in Mark there, in it says there in the last couple of verses, for whosoever of you will be the chief shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. We're not here to to see what we can get or who's going to be the biggest and who's going to be the strongest. I mean, the world wants to conform each one of us into their way of thinking, but Paul in Romans is telling us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. You know, to have our minds renewed. The things that the world goes after or lives on is not what's going to give the Christian life. But we get our life from the Lord Jesus. You know, by doing Jesus said at one point, he said, to do the Father's will is what he feeds on. Is that what I feed on? To be a servant to the Lord Jesus? We're here for him. We're not here for ourselves. So back just again, just a reminder. I don't have much more here. Just a reminder. One, the meaning of a servant is one that makes painful sacrifices in compliance with the weakness of others. But there's the catch in there. You know, we can try to make sacrifices, but making sacrifice isn't necessarily the answer. If we do it with a clear conscience of being, I'm here for the Lord. I'm doing it as unto the Lord. Because we know it says, whatsoever ye do, do as unto the Lord. Because if we just do it and think we're going to get some points for it, we're going to be disappointed. But we're here being a servant for the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord continue to help each one of us to test ourselves. You know, how am I doing? Am I being transformed? You know, I think there's lots of opportunities for us as parents, you know, to be transformed, you know, when we're taking care of all the needs that come around us in our daily lives. But just an encouragement to continue to be a servant for the Lord Jesus, and because we're not always going to be here, and to pass that on, we want to pass the heritage of the Lord Jesus Christ on to the next generation, and if they get a hold of that, that's worth more than. Yeah, being transformed into his image, into God's son, to bring honor and praise to his name. So may the Lord bless you.